All right, God, we just want to invite you to come hang out with us tonight in the cafe and ask for you to help us to follow you. God, that's just the bottom line. Would you give us strength? Would you give us wisdom? Would you give us passion? Would you give us courage? Would you help us to follow you day by day, moment by moment, to live out our faith and to make it real? And we ask that you would give us a good week this week. Help us to shine bright for you. And we lift up all the teenagers in the room and ask you to give them strength for the day. In Jesus' name, amen. So how many of you enjoy the 4th of July? Any of you guys like to do 4th of July stuff? Yes? Picnic? Maybe? Parade? Was anybody in the parade this year? Yeah, a few of you. Yeah, marching band, sweet. Anybody have a float? You guys, anybody have a float in the parade? Yes, nice, very cool. Fireworks, how many of you guys went to Hilliard Fireworks? Yeah? Anybody go up to Dublin? Anybody anywhere else? I heard some places, Indiana, okay, out of state, sure. North Carolina, awesome. Maine, that's fabulous. Fantastic. You know, last 4th of July, I was in Florida and we went to the fireworks on the beach. It's pretty cool. Yeah, pretty cool. All right, so if you got your handout, I want you to take a look at the cover, okay? Here's tonight's topic. It's called Follow, and it goes with our vision and our mission as a youth group. We want to be doing this. We want to follow Christ passionately and then reach in to grow and mature. Everybody say reach in. Reach in, nice. And this whole idea of dependence on God, depending on God, I think is a tough one. Do you know why? Because I think teenagers like independence. And so that's what this little paragraph here at the bottom is. So take a look at it. It says this: most of us celebrate the 4th of July with a parade or a cookout with friends. We watch fireworks and celebrate our independence as a nation. Our independence is something that that we protect and fight for. Even as we grow up, we long to be independent. And teenagers often get tired of being under their parents' authority and want to be on their own. Any of you guys get tired of being under mom and dad's authority? Can I get an amen? Amen. Everyone's like, amen. Yes. However, check this out. However, in our struggle for independence, we can forget that we were not designed to be completely independent. All right? All right, here's the twist. It says, as much as we enjoy our freedom and independence, there is part of us that needs wisdom and guidance outside of ourselves. Would you agree that sometimes we need wisdom and guidance outside of ourselves? That's tough, though. That means we have to admit that maybe we don't know it all, or maybe we don't know what's best. And that's sometimes humbling and hard to do. It says, God calls us to be dependent on him. And part of growing in our faith and maturing in Christ is learning to be dependent on God and to seek his wisdom for our lives. Because we love our independence, it is easy to make decisions on our own. All right, Regina, if you ever just made decisions and didn't even consider God or prayer or anything like that, you're just like, this is what I'm going to do, okay? And maybe that's something small, like what you're going to have for breakfast or what you're going to wear. But sometimes it's bigger stuff. Like, what if you just make decisions like that about college or about a job or about who you're going to marry someday or what? Those are bigger ones. If you just don't consider God even on the big stuff, we can end up in some trouble. But I would encourage you, hey, man, that's something we need to do all the time. It says this. It says, easy to make decisions on our own and not stop to consider what God thinks about our choices. So in order to follow Christ passionately, we need to rely on God in our daily lives. Would you agree or disagree that that is would be something good to do, to rely on God in your daily life? Is that good? Yeah, I think most people would. By the end of the night, though, we're going to kind of challenge you to say, what does it really look like to follow Jesus? And sometimes you're like, yeah, I know, it's reading my Bible, it's praying, it's going to church, it's that kind of thing. Well, I think it's more than that. And if you're going to rate your temperature, like, are you hot, are you warm, are you cold, like, in your faith? Like, how would you rate yourself tonight? You're going to be asked that question later. But to give some thought to say, hey, you know what? What would it look like for me to really be hot, to really be on fire, to really be passionate about my faith? So we're going to take a look at, I think it's a pretty important verse in the Bible. This is in Matthew 16. Would somebody read Matthew 16, 24 for us? Who wants to read that real loud? Who wants to read that real loud? All right, Celine.
Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up this cross and follow me.
All right, does that seem pretty simple? No. Yes? No. Well, it's pretty much, a sentence, but there's a lot in it. So we're going to dig that out a little bit. Here's another version. This is found in Luke 9 of Jesus saying something similar to a crowd. Who would like to read Luke 9 for us? Real loud. All right.
Then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must put aside your selfish ambition. Shoulder your cross daily and follow me. If you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find true life.
All right, so that's kind of a little bit different twist, right? Now we've got not just denying ourselves, now we have new words for that, putting aside your selfish ambition, and then not just taking up your cross, but shouldering it daily. That's a little bit different twist, to follow Jesus. All right, so let me ask you this. The first thing on your paper, it says, is deny yourself. Can I be straight with you? Our culture does not support this. Do you see commercials that say deny yourself? No, you see commercials on TV that say satisfy yourself. In fact, spend all your money on yourself. Spend all your time and energy on yourself. Our nation is very self-centered. Our country is very selfish. And we are growing up and being raised in a culture of media and whatever that's just like you first, you all the time. You are the center of the whole deal, right? Even the world, like for a long time, we thought that we were the center of the universe even and learned that we weren't. Oh, wait, it's the sun, right? So like, here's the idea. Sometimes all of our stuff, all of our things, all of our thinking revolves around ourselves. So just sneak up your hand just kind of a little bit and just say, would you say you're in general a selfish person? Okay, yeah, I totally am, yeah? And as much as I want to be other-centered and focused, I think about Larry a lot. And maybe you think about you a lot and how you're going to spend your money and your time and your energy and that kind of thing. So here are some things that Jesus calls us to. Check this out. To surrender our will. Who wants to do that? Do you guys like surrendering? This seems like a negative term, doesn't it? Like giving up? Well, that's the whole thing. God's like, look, you want to follow me? You have to give up control. You have to give up your will and your desire to run your own life. And that's a tough one. Sometimes people will not follow God because they're not willing to give up themselves, right? So denying yourself, does that mean we have to like sleep on a bed of nails and be all like a monk way out in the wilderness and have no electronics and fast and pray like all the day and all the time? Is it that kind of self-denial, like denying yourself any pleasure? Is it that kind of thing? I think it's different than that. I think that might be involved. You know, maybe there's a time and a place for that kind of denial, but I think this is a bigger kind of denial. It's like, all right, I'm just not going to be the center of my own universe anymore. I'm going to allow God to be the center. So if you look at your handout, you've got the next one says, give up your self-centered view. How hard is that to do? You're born with a self-centered view. When babies are hungry, what do? They cry, and they cry until they get food, right? Now, we're not babies anymore, but do you ever whine when you don't get what you want? Oh, come on. Teenagers, do you whine when you don't get what you want? Sometimes. And maybe your whining is more like moping or pouting or slamming doors or hiding in your room or being like that. Or maybe it's really vocal. Okay? Maybe you're a really loud whiner. Or raise your hand if you have a sibling that whines. The whole room, right? Yeah. Okay. Somebody in your household is a whiner. Sure. All right, how about the next one on your handout? It says this. It says, submit to authority. And more specifically, submitting to God's authority. You guys are still talking about whining. Everybody's telling a story. Yeah, I got somebody who whines in my house. Yeah. Yeah. In the room. Yeah. Everybody's like elbowing each other. Sure. Yeah, you're a whiner. All right, jump back with me to what we're talking about. Submitting to authority. How does that feel? Do you like submitting to authority? Do you like doing what your teacher asks? Do you like doing what their principal wants you to do? Do you like doing what your parents want you to do? Do you like doing what the law requires you to do? Maybe it depends on what it is, okay? When it infringes on your freedom, though, I bet it bugs you. When mom and dad are like, no, you can't go to that party, or no, you can't watch that movie, or no, you can't hang with those friends, that might bug you, okay? What does it look like to submit to God's authority in your life? I think that's a tough one for teenagers. Because I think teenagers want to do their own thing. I think they want to have their own fun. I think they want to, well, in a little way, kind of run their own life. I get that. But God's like, look, there's a better way to live, and it's following me. That's our whole topic tonight. All right, here's the last one under there, under denying yourself. Dying to your selfish ways. Is that hard? All right, it's kind of a funky picture. What does it look like slay your selfish ways? Like, what is that? To die to yourself. All right, so let me transition a little bit. What would it look like for you to die to yourself and help others? What does that look like? Well, maybe you give up something to meet someone else's needs, right? And we're going to move on to the next one. which is going to involve some sacrifice. So taking a look at this, let's see, we were doing deny yourself, right? All right, let's cruise to taking up your cross. Now, does taking up your cross mean you all have to die for Jesus? Because the cross was a physical instrument that Romans used to put prisoners, criminals, to death, okay? Like a noose. There was a cross. There's other ways to kill people, a guillotine, whatever, for capital punishment, right? Does that mean you've got to actually physically die for Jesus? Does it? Well, maybe it's at least identifying with, you know what, Jesus did die for us, and maybe your following him is going to involve some sacrifice. And for some of the disciples, it involved death for them. They ended up dying for their faith. Now, we live in a country that is allowing us the freedom to practice the faith that we desire, right? If you were trying to practice Christianity, let's say maybe in China or in Russia or in some other place, there may be persecution even in Africa. If you don't follow the Muslim faith or you don't follow another faith that that country is for, or if you just don't follow the government, you break their rules and their laws by practicing your faith, for some of those people, it would involve jail or persecution of some sort or even death. In America right now, that's not the case. So yay God, right? That's good. However, just think about it. Have you ever had to sacrifice anything to follow God? Maybe something small. Maybe it was something big. Maybe it was your reputation. Maybe it was popularity. Maybe it was something else. Maybe it was a friendship. So take a look at that one. It says making sacrifices. Raise your hand if you've had to make a sacrifice, small or big, in order to follow God in some way. Anybody have to make a sacrifice? Okay. How about taking responsibility? Jesus, taking up his cross, went to the cross, died for us in our place, took responsibility for our faith and trying to help us reconnect with God, right? What does that look like for you? Taking responsibility for your faith might be your way of carrying your burden. Well, maybe you need to prioritize your life a little differently. Maybe you need to prioritize your time a little bit differently, right? How about enduring hardship or suffering? Anybody ever get made fun of for being a Christian? A few of you? Yeah. I remember I was in high school. And I decided to wear a shirt to school. It's kind of this dilemma I had. Like, I remember in the morning, I wasn't real confident in my faith, and I'd gotten a couple T-shirts that said, you know, like property of God on it, or Jesus is something, or a Bible verse, or something like that, right? And I believe this one was like something like top 10 ways to get to heaven, or something like that. It was supposed to be like kind of a funny one, right? Well, I remember having this big self-conscious attitude about whether I should wear it to school or not, and what people were going to think of me or not, and I was very self-conscious about it. So I put it on, got ready, got my lunch, got my bag ready, went to go out the door, went back to my room, changed my shirt, and wore something different because I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. It took me a little bit of time to build up some courage. And so finally, I'm like, all right, fine, I'm going to wear the thing to school, right? And sure enough, people made fun of it, you know, and mocked it, whatever. And later, I became, you know, more confident as I moved through the grades and, you know, I don't know, I think is more seniority you get in the school, the less people usually make fun of you, right? Not a lot of freshmen making fun of seniors. It's usually the other way around, right? So anyway, I became more confident in my faith. However, over time, people were like, oh, man, that's a cool shirt. Oh, hey, I like that. Like, but that was different. That wasn't the initial reaction I got. That was smart. You guys, that's tiny, tiny persecution, getting made fun of a little bit at school, right? When there's people like being denied food because they follow Jesus, or people being denied freedom and put in jail for their faith, right? I'm made fun of at school. Okay, that doesn't seem so big. But when you're a teenager, sometimes it is a big deal, right? So have there been other hardships or suffering you've had to endure to follow God? Well, maybe it doesn't come in the form of persecution and friends. Maybe it's something different. Like, you know, the enemy, the devil, does not want us to follow God. He does not want us to succeed. He does not want us to pursue the things of God. And sometimes we face opposition to the things that we're trying to do. Like, you ever tried to stop sinning and whatever effort you were giving to kind of quit doing whatever the bad thing was, it just felt like you were tempted more and more and more to do the thing. And so, or sometimes there's roadblocks get put in your path. You guys ever feel like there's been weeks where you just had like obstacle after obstacle after obstacle, and it was just like super hard to persevere and keep going? I think sometimes we face that in our faith. All right, here's the last one under taking up your cross. What does it look like to be disciplined? And I'm not talking about getting a spank, like that kind of discipline, or being grounded, right? You guys don't get spanks anymore, sure. but maybe you have privileges taken away. But that's not what I'm talking about. Disciplined as in like an athlete training. So what does it look like for an athlete to be disciplined? What do? Talk to me. They run. Okay, training, yep. Eating healthy, yeah, what else? Practice, repetition, showing up to practice, practicing over and over and over again, okay? Sleep, taking care of your body, sure, yeah, getting rest, sure. Not being up till like 2 or 3 in the morning when you got a game the next day, sure. All right, can I tell you one of my least favorite practices? I was on the swim team when I was younger and did freestyle and backstroke and couple of medleys and relays and whatnot. My least favorite thing was showing up at the pool at like 7 or 8 in the morning and it's butt cold outside and you got to jump in and like just do laps after laps after laps. And by the time you're done, you feel like you just swallowed half the pool. One of my least favorite practices. I could do soccer practice. I could do baseball practice. Football, sometimes it was pretty tough. But particularly, I hated doing morning workouts for a swim team. Okay. Think of that. Is there an athletic thing or a sports thing or a practice thing that you're like, man, I hated doing fill in the blank? Or just shout them out at me. You hated practicing for lacrosse, conditioning, wrestling, what? Track and field, okay. Football, what? Anything involving running? Okay. Do you guys ever do suicide still? Like, you know, down and back, down and back, down and back, down and back? Yes, those are brutal. Yeah, yeah. Football, one of my least favorites was like bear crawls. We had to, like with all your equipment on. Oh my gosh. Yeah, yeah. One day the line coach decided to punish us. We had to go to the sled riding hill and do bear crawls. Up and down the sled riding hill. Oh, it's brutal. Brutal, brutal, brutal. Here's the thing though. What does it look like to train as a follower of Jesus? It's a little bit different. How do you do this? How do you be disciplined and persevere in your faith when it's not running laps and it's not taking, you know, necessarily like getting enough sleep and eating right? But maybe it is. God does want us to take care of our body. But what does it look like for our faith to persevere in it? Ever feel like giving up? Like spiritually, just, man, I just feel like God's not around or doesn't hear my prayers or he doesn't care or he's not answering my prayers or not listening. That can be tough to persevere in. Okay, or just being disciplined. All right, you know what? I'm going to pray and read my Bible even though I don't feel like it today. Or I'm going to go to youth group even though I don't feel like it today. Or I'm going to go to church and I'm going to try and worship even though I'm not feeling it today. Right? Have you ever had to do that? Well, sometimes it feels weird to do that with your faith, right? But I think that's part of taking up our cross. All right, here's the next one. It says, follow where he leads. Obviously, our topic is following Jesus. But are you following where he's leading you? Do you have an idea where he wants to take you, where he wants you to go? Well, we get a lot of that instruction in the Bible, but it's not particularly specific to you. Like, does he want you to go to this specific college, or does he want you to do this specific activity, or does he want you to interact with this specific person? But he does want us to be loving, right, to care for people, to meet other people's needs. So how about this? Are you listening to his voice and obeying his commands? Well, as he speaks to us through the Bible, Are you following that? Are you listening to that? Are you, all right, one thing to hear it. All right, raise your hand. Have you ever just listened to mom and dad but not done what they asked? Like, yeah, I know what they want me to do. Definitely not going to clean my room. Okay, Or you know you're not supposed to do that because they've already told you no, and you do it anyway. Okay? Yeah, sure. All right, but what does that look like with God? Do you think God gets tired of you disobeying him? Maybe. I don't know. I get tired of my kids disobeying me. I know my parents got tired of me disobeying them, right? All right, Regina, have you ever gotten in trouble for disobeying mom and dad? Yeah, totally. Okay. All right, so what does it look like to listen to him, to obey him, to follow him? So think of it. Are there some things in your life right now that you would say, I am not following God in this area? Think about it. I would say, you know what? I would encourage you to follow where he's leading you and surrender that part of your life to him. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a bad habit. Maybe it's an attitude you've got, something like that. All right, here's the next part. Following him moment by moment and day by day. Do you think about God during the day? Do you think about your faith during the day? Do you ever ask God to help you with a test or an exam or a friendship? Yeah, good. I would encourage you, you know, take him with you to school. Take him with you to work. Take him with you to your home, in your neighborhood, and live with him. Walk with him. Have it be this cool kind of friendship, even though he's not tangible. I get that. And then how about this? Go where he sends you and do what he would do. Are you letting him lead your life? Or are you resisting him? You know, somebody once told me that that giving God control of your life was kind of like a balloon. That picture like a helium balloon on a string, okay? And that's like your life. And you're holding it. And you have the decision to let go of that balloon and give it to God and let God be in control of your life. But here's the weird thing. It just hovers there. Like God has it, but the balloon is just hovering there. And on any given day, you can do this and take it back. And I'm not talking about like your salvation. I'm talking about just following him daily. So sometimes we're like, you know what? Yeah. Or I've heard it explained like this. It's like being in the driver's seat of your car. Okay. At some point, you need to get out of the driver's seat, walk around, get in the passenger seat, and let God steer. So for some of you, that's really scary to do. Okay. But every once in a while, we like climb over the stick shift or the shifter, and we take the steering wheel back. Okay? So this day, like each day, man, all right, God, I give you this day. I give you my friendships. I give you what's going on in my heart. And asking him to help you and to follow him each day. That's the whole thing, to follow him and this whole idea at the top, being dependent on God. Sometimes people feel like dependence is a bad thing. The being dependent on drugs, bad thing. Okay? Being dependent on God is definitely a good thing. Okay? You're just like, ah, yeah. All right. Here's the last part. When I think about my spiritual temperature, am I hot or cold or somewhere in the middle? That shifts and changes for me every day and every week. It's a little bit different. But over a span of time, where's your heart right now? Are you like super in love with Jesus and just totally excited about your faith and want to reach out to people and connect with him and worship him and grow? Or are you like, I'm following God, but just not feeling it? Or are you like, you know what? I don't give a rip about God right now. I got my own problems. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm like way over here. So when I think about those things, it made me think about this little list I kind of came up with. Like, what gets people passionate about God and about their faith? And I think it starts with these things. It starts with understanding the depth of God's love for you. Okay? It's like step one. You start to really, really grasp the depth, how deep God's love for you is, the sacrificial love for you is, or you let that simmer a little bit, okay? And then you add to that, you start thinking and contemplating the depth of your sin, okay? You start thinking about, wow, I am one messed up sinner, or man, what I do really offends God. If you start to really get in touch with, wow, when I sin, when I disobey my parents, when I cuss or swear or steal or cheat or lie or lust or whatever it might be, that breaks the heart of God. And he's offended by our sin, and he can't have anything to do with sin. And you realize, wow, that's what separated me from God. And the more you live, the longer you live, the more we sin, I think the more you got to really grab a hold of, wow, the depth of your own sin. And then you simmer on that for a bit. Okay, like we're building like this big spiritual soup that's got to simmer and cook for a while, right? So then you've got this, think about the depth of his sacrifice. What did God give up for you? His son, he gave up part of himself for you. And I told you guys this before. I'm sorry, but I would not give up any of my kids for you. I just wouldn't. If I had a choice to save them or you, I'm sorry, I would save them. I just would. For God to give up his son, not just for anybody, but for people who didn't deserve it, right? I like you, and I still wouldn't give up my kids for you. But let alone, would I give up my kids for a stranger or a criminal even? Heck no, right? No way. But God, all right, so understand the depth of, all right, God gave up Jesus. Jesus gave up his life. Not just that, he absorbed your punishment. Did you know he actually was punished? When he died, he was separated from God, the Father, and he was punished. He took on the punishment, physically beaten and then spiritually separated. I mean, I have no idea what that's like. But he took it. All right, so you let that simmer for a while, right? And then on top of that, you do this. You think about the depth of forgiveness, like how much forgiveness you have received and how complete it is. That you've been forgiven for what you did when you were little, for what you're doing right now, and for what you will do later. That God's forgiveness is complete and it's full and it makes you presented to him. You know how God sees you? When he looks at you through the lens of Jesus, he sees you white and pure and clean and holy and righteous. That's awesome. That he has cleansed you from all that. So when God thinks of you, he doesn't think of, oh, there's a sinner. He thinks of, oh, there's a beautiful man or a beautiful woman I've made. And he sees, all right, so then you let that cook for a while. And then you start to bubble up inside of you this. You start to feel this deep gratitude for God, for him, and you feel this deep love for him. If someone rescued you, someone pushed you out of the way of a speeding car and saved your life, wouldn't you just be so grateful to them? Wouldn't you like pick them up off the ground and together you'd be like best buddies and buy them whatever they wanted and just be so grateful for your own life back, right? How much more, like, all right, so you start to feel this deep gratitude. God, wow, I was on death row and you rescued me. You took my place and then you put a white robe on me and you made me clean and pure. And wow, all right, you let that simmer, okay? And then as you let all that cook in your heart and in your mind, you move toward this deep passion for Jesus. Man, I would be nothing without him. And you know what's cool? When people usually come to Jesus for the first time, put their faith in Christ for the first time, hear this awesome rescue mission love story of God for them, and they move toward faith in Christ, like you can just see it on their face that they have found this deep passion for Jesus. They are grateful. They are in love with him. They are excited about it. They are overwhelmed by it. And here's the thing, you guys. When I was younger, I didn't feel like I was a great big sinner. I didn't kill anybody. Okay, it wasn't like a super murderer or anything. I wasn't on drugs. All right, I was not rescued from a horrible life. Does that make sense? So like my coming to Jesus wasn't dramatic. Are you with me? Like to bring up somebody who had been on drugs for 10 years and had, you know, been in jail and did all this stuff and they had this life-transforming story, that's not Larry's story. Mine was quieter. It was smaller. It was private. It was in my heart. It was giving up the selfishness. It was surrendering my will to God. It was realizing what he'd done for me. And over time, I put my faith in him and started following him, but it wasn't like you could see Larry in this year and Larry in this year. It was two different Larrys. It wasn't like that. And maybe your story is a little bit more similar. Maybe your story is dramatic. I don't know. But I think we can still have a passion for Jesus, right? And then as that cooks for a while, I think we start to develop a passion for the things that Jesus was passionate about. And that would be lost people, right? Can I be honest? I don't feel like our youth group has a passion for really going after lost people. I'll just be straight. And sometimes my even passion for reaching lost people ebbs and flows. So I get that. But I would love it this year if together as a group we could move toward, let's be more passionate about reaching our friends. Let's be more passionate about just connecting with Jesus. Are you with me? And we can't manufacture that. We're going to need to ask God to help this cook and simmer in us. But here's what happens to me. You know what happens to me? I get numb to that. I've been a Christian a long time. I've been forgiven. I know that. And I just start living my life. And I lean on him some. But like I kind of get numb. And I forget the depths from which I was forgiven. I forget the depths of the sacrifice he's made. And it all becomes kind of Christian blah, 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 blah. And I've heard it all. And God's like, look, don't let the cross escape you. Don't let forgiveness escape. Don't let grace, something you get that you don't deserve was this forgiveness. So if we could grab a hold of that this year, that is my heart and prayer for you. So can we pray just together as a group and say, God, would you help us to follow you and be more passionate? Are you with me? All right, let's do that. You know what? I don't do this a lot, but if you're serious about this, just get on your knees and say, I just want more Jesus. You don't have to, but I just feel like, man, if you want it, you need to do a physical act of just saying, all right, I'm going to bow. And maybe you just do that in your own heart. Maybe you do it in your chair. But just even get on your knees or just in your heart surrender and say, Jesus, I want more of you. Jesus, forgive me. Cleanse me. Help me to follow you, to really, really follow you. Would you let this stuff sink in? the depth of your love for me, the depth of my sin, the depth of forgiveness that you have for me, and help it sink down into a deep passion for you. God, I'm sorry, and I need you. Would you give me a passion for the lost? Would you help me to reach my friends? Would you help me to give up my selfishness, to deny myself, to take up my cross, and to follow you? In Jesus' name, amen.